Hi, I'm Ethan, and I'm not Gen X, but listening and watching Gen X grown up makes me feel like I am. If you want the same experience I've had, consider becoming a patron at genxgrownup.com/patreon.
No life, no fun. Don't you know that you're a grown up?
Gen X Grown Up is a YouTube channel, website, and audio podcast you're listening to right now. All made for and by people who love exploring media, games, tech, and toys of yesterday and today through the eyes of Gen Xers who refuse to grow up.
Your dinner cannot just be French fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
Welcome back, Gen X Grown-Up Podcast listeners, to this episode 143, the Gen X Grown-Up Podcast. I am John. Joining me, of course, as always, my friends, colleagues, co-hosts, and partners in crime, George is here.
Hey, everybody.
I threw him for a loop. And of course, wouldn't be a show without Mo. Hey, man.
After all that, that's what I get? Jeez, okay. Hey.
It all applied to both of you. Look, I try to be creative, and I always backfires. Damn it.
Don't get creative. Just do right. You have one job, dude.
Just
we're
one
too
job.
Old for change. Too old for change. In this episode, we check back in with the unorthodox head coach of AFC Richmond and Apple TV Plus's hit comedy, test drive some cool new tech to upgrade your home network, and play an updated Atari classic that will once again have you on the search for the golden chalice. You might already know what that is. If you don't, you're going to be pleasantly surprised. Before we get to those topics and many, many more, though, it's time to check in on our fourth listener. Now, we know there's the three of us. We're going to listen. If anybody else does and they take the time to write in, that's the fourth listener. And this time around, long time. Just don't shake your head at me like you're not going to listen. We've established you're going to listen. The fourth listener this time around, a longtime listener and the supporter, is Kun Mong, who wrote us via Discord. Subject of his message was Greatest American Hero in reference to our backtrack, a few backtracks back. Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite wild.
Here's what Kun Mong had to say. I never watched this back in the day, but thanks to you three, I have located it on my streaming surface and started watching it.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
All right, good. We're a good influence on you.
okay.
We'll see, maybe. Is that dubious claim? You don't think so?
Yeah.
Like I said, we'll see.
Yeah. All right, we'll see. Kunmon goes on to say, okay, I did watch part of the first episode a few months ago, but I was like, interesting, but nah. But after listening to the backtrack, I went back to rewatch it / finish watching it, and now several more episodes in. I do hope he gets comfortable flying soon, as his floundering around, while hilarious, is starting to get stale. Yeah.
Should we break it to him, or?
No. He never gets good at it, but I feel like midway through the first season, like, they stop focusing on it. He's just kind of, like, unstable mostly, right?
He's not, like, flailing around anymore.
Yeah, like he was at the beginning. He never gets great at it, so bad news there, if that's what you're... He doesn't become Superman. Like, he's not great, so. He goes on to say, with all the new abilities you mentioned, they're constantly throwing in there, there's plenty of room to focus on the hilarity of these instead. And, I mean... Like you said, Mo, break it to you now. It never goes away. He's always going to be bad at flying, but they do poke fun with other things. I'm glad that you went back and gave it a second chance. After I watched more of it for the backtrack, I ended up like it's in my rotation. It's in my recently watched stuff. And I'm like, oh, I'll watch an episode of that. Why not? So it's good 80s mindless fun. Thank you for writing in, Kun Mong. We appreciate that you did. Fact is, we love it every time one of the fourth listeners takes time to write in. If you would like your email featured here on the show, it is so easy. All you have to do is head to your email client, drop us a line at podcast@genxgrownup.com. We'll read every single one, and most of them, like Kun Mong's, will eventually make the show. All right, with that good business in the rearview mirror, it's time to jump into the body of this episode right after this. Stick around. Over the past few weeks, we've been trying out Factor Meals, and they're meals that come straight to your door. They deliver them to you in the mail. They drop on the front door in this freezer pack, and it's a great way to eat stress-free. And this spring, you can get delicious, ready-to-eat meals. They're fresh, never frozen, chef-crafted, and dietitian-approved. And here's the cool thing, as we've all found out. You throw them in the microwave for 2 minutes, and they're ready to eat and not even requiring cleanup.
And if you can't find something on their menu that you like, then you're just way too picky.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have over 35 options. Mm. You know, they have things like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie, and we even tried the vegetarian one, which was really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just the regular meals, but they've also got all these add-on packs, which I really love. These are things like, you know, breakfast or on-the-go lunches or little snacks, even like beverages that want to help you stay fueled and feel good good all day long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So really, I mean, like they say on their site, what are you waiting for? And they're not kidding. You can get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals by heading over to Factor.
Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring.
Are you looking for good gourmet meals? Try the meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff.
Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking.
We're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for lowest carbon footprint meals.
So head to factormeals.com/GenX50 and use code GenX50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code GenX50 at factormeals.com/GenX50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Be sure to subscribe to or follow Gen X Grown Up wherever you listen. And while you're there, rate and review the show, too. It helps more than you know.
It's my turn to see what I can see. I hope you'll understand this time's just for me.
Oil of Olay has a lot to do with how I feel about myself. It makes my skin look so vibrant. Sheer and greaseless Oil of Olay replenishes to give me a younger look.
Oil of Olay. It can help keep you looking younger, too.
I love Oil of Olay. And when I look this good, look out.
It is time to get rolling talking about media we have been checking out. Now, of course, we could be talking about film or movies or comics or music or whatever it is. And Mo, I'm going to start with you. You had something that you were looking forward to the last time we spoke that you have checked out.
Oh, yeah. It's Hulu series History of the World Part 2. Have you guys caught any of this yet?
I have not. But what I have been very interested in is the Discord conversations over at genxgrownup.com/Discord about this series, because there are some wildly differing and very boisterous opinions about this series so far.
Yeah, I caught the first two episodes. I haven't watched the rest of it. I want to. I enjoyed it. But yeah, I haven't watched all of it yet.
Yeah, I haven't watched all of them. There's six episodes, I believe, total. I've watched four of them. Mm-hmm. So I'm over halfway.
Okay. All right.
And I really enjoy it. It's Mel Brooks. Absolutely. It's updated Mel Brooks, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
The jokes are current. The references are current. You know, he's making fun of current things, you know. It's got everybody. There must have been a cattle call, like, hey, who wants to be in this show? And then every celebrity or everyone in the world said, you know, put their hands up, and he just kind of picked and chose who he wanted. A lot of people are in for like one or two episodes, you know, and that's it. Some are in for the whole thing. I mean, I'm really, really enjoying it. It is pure Mel Brooks type humor, though, for sure. It is a part two of the original movie, as far as I could tell.
Mm-hmm. The thing I noticed about it, it reminded me a lot of like the Zazz team, the Zucker, Abram Zucker, that did like Airplane and stuff, Naked Gun, things like that. It's the kind of humor that it's like a machine gun, right? They're just, jokes are coming at you like bullets. And if the first 10 miss, it's okay. There'll be an 11th or 12th that hit. Eventually, you're going to end up laughing because they just, it's nonstop. They keep piling on the jokes. They don't slow roll it. It just keeps coming fast and furious, which I like in my humor, because that way they don't have to be bangers. You just have to catch the one that tickles your funny bone, you know?
Absolutely.
The thing that gets me, like I said, I haven't seen it yet, but the people in Discord keep talking about how they, or at least not all the people, but some of the people are saying they don't feel like this is a Mel Brooks comedy, because they feel like it was written by a group of writers who were trying to approximate Mel Brooks comedies. And I'm kind of wondering if that's true. I mean, I don't hate Mel Brooks, but I'm not a super Mel Brooks fan. Like, sure. I enjoyed Robin Hood Men in Tights. That was fun. I truthfully never watched all of History of the World Part 1. Never did finish it. Never finished Blazing Saddles.
Really?
Ooh. Yeah. Shut up, Goonies. I don't want to hear shit.
This could be a Goonies caliber offense.
Yeah. I will do it then.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, Mo has the moral high ground to gas people.
But I'm just wondering, like, Mo, I mean, you watch this. Do you think they're wrong? Do they think they're right? Yeah. Why do you think they're wrong or right?
I don't agree with them, because I think it is a team of writers for sure. But Mel Brooks was over the show. I actually heard an interview with the other co-creator, and his whole thing was like, he says, you know, how was it like working with Mel Brooks? He says, it was amazing. He says, there's nothing when you do a joke and Mel Brooks laughs. That feels amazing. He says, but then the next joke, he tells you that it sucks. It's horrible. You know, so
right.
he was involved in it. So to me, I mean, it does feel like a Mel Brooks one to me. The jokes, the references.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I hear. Anyway.
It did me to me too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So the opinion that a few people had in the Discord server that it was people trying to approximate Mel Brooks writing doesn't ring true to you.
Not me.
Like I said, I'm not an expert, so I couldn't tell the difference. To me, it's Spaceballs as Spaceballs. I wouldn't know, how to tell the difference.
I think it is different.
Yeah.
It just feels a little evolved, right?
Yeah,
Mel Brooks is not. He's not stuck in 1987, right? He's still evolving and writing differently, so.
You just screwed up. You had a great segue to the next topic.
Oh, did I?
Oh, my God.
Oh, I messed up.
You said evolved.
That's one thing, though. One thing is that it's definitely the joke's a little more sophisticated, maybe. Like, here's an example, like Rasputin, right? And, the thing is that Rasputin, they tried to kill him like 8 times and failed. Like, he survived like poisoning and being. And so they have Jackass Rasputin or something like that, where it's Jackass, and had Johnny Knoxville playing Jackass. Rasputin. And basically, it's all the attempts in his life. And like, he's like,
trying to kill him.
They're going to, poison me and throw me in a river, things like that, which, it's a couple levels on that joke.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I said, I'm really, really super enjoying it. And I'm like, got 2 more episodes. I'm sorry that that's all there is. But in a way, I think that's kind of good because, they're not going to keep going and mess it
up. How many episodes did you have total?
6, I think.
How many episodes? 6?
I think it's only 6. Yeah.
And how long are each episode?
Half hour.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's 3 hours. That's double the length of the movie.
Oh yeah. 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 It is. I mean, but I'm just enjoying it and, I understand it's a finite thing.
Right.
When it's over, it's probably done at that point.
Yeah.
Mel Brooks ain't getting younger. That's for sure.
No, he's not. Yeah. I'm sure I'll finish watching it. It was funny. What I saw, I enjoyed.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what I got. So how about you, John?
Yeah. I also had something that I was looking forward to and, I was wrong.
And that you had a great segue for.
Should not have been. I had a great segue for it, but that's right. Now,
yeah, he correct that.
All I have now is just start talking about it. I'm talking about the film 65 starring Adam Driver.
You didn't like it?
No, I did not like it. Did you see it? Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it yet. I wanted to. Now I'm not sure anymore.
Don't bother. No.
Really? That bad?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Here's the thing with 65.
Okay.
Here's the thing with 65. I didn't think you could screw up, right? You had spaceships. You had Adam Driver, who I love his acting. You had dinosaurs. You had laser blasters and spaceships. And amazing.
You can't fail, right?
Well, they found a way. This was a waste of a film. Remember we talked about Cocaine Bear last time we talked about how that movie was exactly what they said it was going to be. But the problem is they gave you nothing more.
And
that happened again here. Like everything you saw in the trailer, they promised spaceships, dinosaurs, Adam Driver, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, all that. They checked off the list and went, whoa, whoa, whoa. Don't anybody do anything creative. This is all we're going to deliver.
Oh,
and that's literally all you got. There was no depth to it.
So I would argue that they didn't put one thing in the movie that they teased heavily in the trailer. This is not a goddamn time travel movie.
Well, they implied that it was a time travel movie, but they didn't say, right?
Shit. They led us on 65 million years in the past. They never gave us any inkling that he wasn't human. He's a species that evolved like in a Star Wars universe. It looks exactly like humans, but he's not human. 65 million years before, and Earth is some uncharted space, and they didn't know about the asteroid belt, which obviously is the asteroid belt in our solar system. And there's all this shit going on.
They get hit by an asteroid in the asteroid belt, seriously?
No. It was the asteroid belt.
No, they didn't know the asteroid belt existed.
Oh.
No, it wasn't the asteroid belt at all. It was their ship got hit by the asteroid that took out the dinosaurs.
No.
Yeah.
Their ship got hit by one of the pieces off of that asteroid, but it came, they went through that asteroid belt because it wasn't on their charts. It was an uncharted asteroid belt.
Yeah.
Remember?
But the asteroid eventually, anyway, go ahead.
Regardless, we're arguing over a piece of shit movie.
Right, we don't care. I don't need to win. I'm okay with being wrong.
I mean, the truth of the matter is, you know how you talk about something being a waste of a certain, finite resource?
Yeah.
Digital space is not a finite resource. This was a waste of digital space that they used to film this movie.
Wow.
They really screwed the pooch on having a great premise of a storyline that would entertain people. They had an unbelievably awesome, talented lead actor in the role.
Yep.
They had a very small cast, which is wonderful to do some great character study with.
Mm-hmm.
And in every chance that they got, okay, let's give some feels to Adam Driver. Oh, jump scare. Okay.
Yeah.
Just flat. Okay, I got to reset now. Oh, let's give some feels to the little girl and Adam Driver's relationship. Oh, jump scare. Okay, now I got to reset. It was the worst timing for everything that happened in the movie that I've
seen. Pacing was weird.
In a movie that could have and should have been big blockbuster worthy.
How'd the critics feel about it? Did you see
anything? I don't care. Wow, I didn't even look.
Wow.
I didn't even look. Well, normally I would look and go, was I wrong? Did I miss it? Was this a lighthouse situation where I just didn't get it? But this was an action, sci-fi action movie. And yes, it was literally, it was science fiction. There was some action. I will say that the digital effects of the dinosaurs, pretty doggone good.
Solid.
You know, which was kind of like my compliments for Cocaine Bear were that the bear looked good. That was like the only thing I had to say about it.
Yeah. But it wasn't groundbreaking.
No, no, no. There wasn't a story that pulled me through it that I'm like, and if you see a little movie like this that's just a standalone, and you're like, what a universe. I hope they do more in this. I'm like, I don't care. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Just okay. It's an incidental story about a couple people you don't care about. And I didn't care if they died, quite honestly. And I mean, it, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just looked it up. So it got 35%.
Generous.
That was generous.
Oh, really? All right, then. I know what I'm waiting for streaming for.
in summary, it's not an aggressively bad movie. Like, there's not bad effects and bad acting. Just all of the pieces that were any good at all were strung together in such a haphazard way as to not feel like a movie you enjoy watching. It was just little nuggets of like, oh, that's a cute little scene. That was a cute little scene. But as a movie, it fell flat.
You know what it felt like to me? It felt like a movie that obviously should have been much better, but somehow ChatGPT and corporate movie structure people got together and created this film by throwing little post-it notes at a dartboard. Okay, jump scare scene. Okay, emotional scene. Okay, he's got a serious wound scene. And there was no heart in it. That's the part that really bothered me. And there should have been heart in this storyline.
Yeah, yeah. Could have been any actor. You wasted Adam Driver here. Could have been anybody because you didn't need his range. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've spent enough time talking about this waste of time. So, George, how about you? What have you been checking out?
You know, very recently, Ted Lasso season 3 came back to Apple Plus. Now, this is one of those series that my wife, as soon as the season is over, says, when's the next season coming out? She does that with a couple of series. This is one of them. And she has been doing that all year long since the end of season 2.
Oh, my God. It's been how long now?
Like 8 months, I think, 9 months, something like that. They only release like 8 or 10 episodes, and they're full of emotion. They do like 4 different storylines throughout a season. They're apparently setting that up in this season as well. What I really like is that they are, again, using real world scenarios. So it appears that the big bad team that they're going to have to deal with this season is West Ham United. They are using West Ham Stadium, which is really awesome in some of their scenes. And they also have it broke down on a personal level. So the owner of AFC Richmond, it's her ex-husband that now owns West Ham United. Right. Like, yeah, I mean, that in America, we go, oh, that's too quick. He could never buy it. In soccer, that shit happens all the time.
If you have the money,
teams get bought and sold left, right, and center.
Yeah.
The coach that was an assistant coach on AFC Richmond that turned out to be a bad guy, he's now the head coach of West Ham United. And there's a lot of digs back and forth. The first episode, which I just watched, has exactly what Ted Lasso is great at. And I mean the character, not just the series. Mm-hmm. There are some moments in the first episode where the assistant coach who used to coach for AFC Richmond, now the West Ham United, he's trying to act like a tough guy in front of the press. Mm-hmm. And he's making fun of AFC Richmond and calling them shitty and all this, that, and the other. And so what do? They give a press conference to Ted Lasso. And he's just like, you know, that was funny, but he really missed out on some good jokes. I mean, there was nothing about the stupid American coach or, you know, all this. Like, he's self-deprecating.
Just taking the wind out of his sails. Like,
A degree that everybody turns their opinion away from the West Ham United people and on to the Ted Lasso people. And it's just really fun. First episode was 45 minutes or so. I could have seen another 15 and it would have been awesome. Really?
Yeah. You know, I never watched Ted Lasso. I heard people talking about it, and just maybe within the last a few weeks or so, I started watching the first season. And like, I heard everybody said, oh, he's this, you know, he's this kind of aw shucks guy from America. And he was a college coach and they brought him over there and he disarmed everybody. But I was unprepared for just how, like, Jason Sudeikis in this, you know, he's bringing he's bringing little like cookies to the owner every day.
Yeah.
He wins over everybody. Yeah. And it's like, you want to root him on. And that's that's what happened with everybody else. There was a turn where he finally won a game, but everybody started calling him wanker. So like, good job, wanker. Like, it's just beyond the term of endearment. It is such a cute little show. And I'm sorry I missed out on it. I'm going to catch up because now it keeps going.
It's a fun little series. You'll be happy to know that the cookie joke plays all the way through to this season.
Oh, good.
How great.
I really always like, though, that you say about disarming, like that one reporter, like the really tough reporter.
Yes.
And he wins him over. You know, it's, I was like,
he follows him around for a day. Yeah. It's great stuff. So, all right. Well, I have a third season coming. Is it renewed for another? Do you know? Or is this going to wrap it up?
No, I think this is
they haven't said. I don't know if it's going to be it or not. Because this is Apple TV. No. And so think about it, where this thing started from. We talked about it a long time ago when it first came on. This started from a commercial.
Yeah.
That's where this character was born, in a commercial during the World Cup, not 4 years ago now, but 8 years ago now. And because soccer is moving so strongly now, both in America and all over the world, and all the things are changing. UEFA just had a big dust up about they were going to do this whole big Super League thing, and then that got pulled back because fans went nuts about it and stuff. I think there's an appetite still for Ted Lasso. I can see a season four very easily. Just don't let him win the Premier League this year. That's all.
Yeah. Right. Like, leave something out there for him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I just checked the season two. It ended October 21.
Yeah.
So that's how long it's been.
It drags.
Yeah. People have been waiting.
The thing that finally sold me, I was walking through Walmart and I saw there was a Ted Lasso board game. And I'm like, there must be something to this. So there's a board game. So that's I started watching it. I wasn't disappointed.
Well, hey, podcast listener, my name is Vince, and I'm the host of a show called The RR Show. It stands for Reddit Readings. We're going to sit down twice a week, and I'm going to bring you the most entertaining stories from all of the best subreddits that exist online. Things like malicious compliance, petty revenge, hey, lady, I don't work here. Oh, there's so much more. Lots of great stories and things you won't believe. Like the one time this dude was caught in a bathroom with his friend and he was slapping them because that was the only way that he could actually legitimately help them. A mall cop comes in with a taser. Oh, yeah. The rest is history. It's going to be fun. There is, I don't know. I got like 20 seconds left, so I don't got much more time to tell you another story. But just join me on The RR Show. It's from Evergreen Podcast, produced in partnership with Wessler Media. So The RR Show. Wherever you get podcasts, subscribe today. And it's like an adult story time. Let's hang out together. The RR Show. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Gen X Grown Up. But if you have a friend who's not yet listening, why not? Tell them about us. They'll thank you later.
Enter the world of the potentially rich and famous. Play the Burger King $14 million winning taste game. Win $1,000 a month for the rest of your life, or any of 19 million fabulous food and cash prizes. Glitter, glamour, a flame broiled whopper, a flaky croissant sandwich, a Pepsi, or $1,000 a month for the rest of your life. And the odds of winning a prize are a fantastic 1 in 7. Play the winning taste game now at Burger King.
For this Tech and Toys, John, let's kick it off with you because mine is pretty boring.
Yeah, that's a terrible plan that you have there to start with me.
Oh, really?
Since I'm now unemployed and I'm working so hard to make Gen X Grown Up a regular thriving thing, my discretionary income fund is diminished greatly, which means I don't just buy tech and toys willy-nilly like I used to. You know, thankfully we're growing through the generosity of our people on Patreon and things like that. But it hasn't been enough for me to just go, just like screw it money. Just go, whatever, I'll buy it. I'm really kind of counting pennies right now. So I kind of looked around. Sometimes you have to buy something. Like maybe I need a new bidet or some stupid thing, but I had no necessary. I do now. It's got to be in my house, but I just really didn't have a new tech or toy that I got around to since the last time we spoke. So I guess I'm going to have to lean back on George and Mo with his boring one, I expect.
Well, George, I'm sure it's carry the whole segment. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, first, I guess, you know, everybody who's listening or watching this segment, make sure you head over to Patreon and give John some money because he can't afford the next bidet that he needs.
That's right.
So it can't be bidet. Right. Patreon.com/GenXGrownUp or GenXGrownUp.com/Patreon, whichever.
All of them.
All of the Twitters.
Yep.
Yes.
I did receive something. It wasn't something I purchased for myself. It was a birthday gift because I just turned 52 years old here at the beginning of March.
That's right.
And
happy birthday
again. The gift that I received was a Lego gift.
Always nice. Good to have.
Yeah. So I got Lego set 75341. And I'll give everybody a moment to go throw that in Google. This is the Ultimate Collector Series Star Wars Luke Skywalker Land Speeder.
Ooh.
Mm.
Somebody loves you, man.
Yeah. My whole family chipped in. All of them put in a little. I still don't know how much this thing cost because I've purposefully kept myself from seeing the price. Even when I got the link that Mo can throw in the show notes, I covered up the screen with my hand so I wouldn't see the price.
Yeah. They love you.
I haven't put this thing together yet. It just looks beautiful inside the box. It reminds me of the feeling I had when I got the Atari 2600 box in. It is gorgeous. The box is huge and substantial and has a lot of weight to it. And the images on the back of the box, not just of the Lego build, but they also put images of the land speeder from the film for your comparison. Okay. And they talk about how big it is and everything on there. I think it's like 6.5 inches long or something like that. So it's not a small model by any stretch of the imagination. It's got like 1700 parts, maybe, I think.
1700. But wow.
Yeah. It's really, really nice.
The thing that continually impresses me about Lego, especially like in the last 10 years, Lego, is how the model builders are getting so, so good at making non-Lego shapes and curves and angles. Yeah. And it used to be you bought a Lego set and I kind of felt like, oh, I'm going to build the thing on the box because anybody could do that. Well, now the thing on the box, no one but an expert builder could ever possibly figure out how to make Legos do that. So part of the fun is like I remember with the Atari, like you said, like, how are they going to replicate these curves? And I'll be damned if they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And the land speeder is as you're just putting a big it curve. Together.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Even as you're putting it together, you're like, is this what that's going to be? Like, you're not really sure all the time. The parts that I love the most about it are the interior mechanisms of these builds, especially like on the 2600, John, you mentioned all the way the gears and the slidey parts and everything. And I'm like, well, now that I see it, it's simple. But like you said, the people who had to figure it out and test it and do all that. And I watch several YouTube channels now and stuff on Facebook where these different Instagram influencer Lego people are like doing these little builds and stuff, making these things. And I'm like, oh, that's so cool. I love how they prototype and they do different things. Now, this is not the only Lego gift that I got for my birthday. In the next podcast, when we get back to it, I'll talk about the other one because for my birthday, we also went to Orlando. We went to Disney Springs. There's a giant Lego store in Disney Springs. And my wife said, hey, while you're here and we're in the Lego store, why don't you just get another one just to have it? And I picked up another cool Star Wars related Lego set.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. I'm very happy. I just need to clean out the studio. As you guys who are watching this can tell, I'm not in the studio right now because it's full of stuff right now. Mm-hmm. Once I get the studio cleaned up a little bit more so I can have some build space. Once I build it, though, the biggest problem with Lego, John, is what?
Is you need a place to put that finished model when you're done. Yeah,
display. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where are you going to put these things? You got to have like crazy shelf space for years to be able to put all this stuff.
I know. Yeah. First world problem.
Yeah, definitely a first world problem. I'm looking at the thing on Amazon and we'll definitely put a link in the show notes. But and also I like the details they add to it. Like I'm looking at this one. It comes on a stand with a display placard that talks about like, you know, it's, you know, 3.4 meters long. I mean,
this dimensions, you know, right?
Yeah.
So that display placard has become kind of a new thing. Like that Iron Man that I talked about a few episodes ago, that has one of those as well. It looks like the higher end, more expensive models, more of them are having those display placards now.
It's almost like a museum piece now. You know, like you just
right. So if you find a place to display it, it'll look good being displayed. It's not just randomly sitting on a
shelf.
Yeah. Cool. Yep.
Now, the great thing is when I was typing in the Lego 75341 into Amazon to get you the link, Mo, you know, the little autofill thing says light kit.
Oh, no.
So I looked and there are two or three custom light kits out there with LED stuff and battery packs that you can add to this.
I saw somebody do that for the Thanos gauntlet.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You just light up all the gems on it. Those are some neat kits. Sometimes they're expensive, but man, if you like the model, it's a nice addition.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. And I don't know if the light kits that I looked at are prohibitively expensive compared to the price. Cause like I said, I don't want to know the price of this thing, but they were like $35 or so.
Yeah.
It feels a little pricey to me, like $20 would have been an instant buy, but still, it's out there. So, Mo, is there any way in hell you can follow the Lego Luke Skywalker speeder?
Not really. So
give it a shot. Like I said,
mine is boring, but necessity.
Okay. Okay.
So we all have home computers and home networks.
He bought a bidet also. Got it. And,
no, I get that foot massager thing. The other day, you know, sitting there, all of a sudden, like, just nothing worked on my network. Like, my Wi-Fi worked, but nothing else. Oh. And so it turns out that my switch went bad. An 8-port gigabit switch.
Oh, yeah.
So my thing I got this year, I got a Netgear 8-port Gigernet unmanaged switch. You know, it's just a pretty basic thing. I mean, you can find them pretty much anywhere. And they're not even terribly expensive. But the reason I want to talk about it is I'm trying to figure out why and how something with no moving parts at all could go bad.
Just goes down.
Like,
yeah.
Easy.
It just died. Like, it just stopped working. And I
mean, you haven't taken it apart, I'm assuming. No, but no, I mean, you would think the first thing that could go wrong, assuming you didn't spill anything on it
or didn't get caught with dust, would
be heat. I mean, these unmanaged switches are notorious for when...
Really?
A heat sink is out of place, or if a soldering joint is bad or something like that, over time, the heat that these things experience, because they don't have like big
fans or anything,
conductive fans like your PC does. They just have passive fans, if anything.
Okay.
They, you know, it just swells the joints and things pop and crack. And you could probably go in and diagnose it with a voltmeter and you could probably solder and fix it if you really wanted to. Or you could go to Amazon.
It's almost like when a printer goes bad. We had a printer go bad the other day and it takes more time and effort to diagnose and fix a printer.
Yeah.
Like, I only feel bad throwing away the printer cartridges.
Yeah, those are expensive.
Because the printer is like $30.
Yeah.
And we went and bought another printer, and it's a network printer. I can print from my phone now. It was like ridiculous. And it was another $35. Now, ink, $70, but that's not worth fixing sometimes.
There was a point in the 90s, John, when instead of buying ink, I was just buying a new printer every time.
I did the same thing.
That makes sense. Yeah, it made sense.
It seemed cheaper. You know, I don't know if it was, but it seemed cheaper.
Yeah. It's that disposable technology thing, like with your switch, right? It's kind of like I could dig into it. I could open it up. I could get a voltmeter. I could dig. But what's your time worth? And ultimately, you know, you burn a Saturday diagnosing it. Would you rather just buy a new one? So
especially for like a $30 thing, you know, they're not terribly expensive these days for unmanaged ones. So
I'll tell you this, Mo, because you talked about you got this new Netgear one, right?
Yeah.
You replaced it with a Netgear. Mm-hmm. I've had very bad luck with some of their unmanaged switches, the small ones like
really?
This.
Okay.
I've moved over to TrendNet for quite a while now.
I'll take a look at those.
Problem is they only have 5-port switches usually, but they're about $15 cheaper than the Netgear.
Oh.
So something to consider out there. If you're looking for options, you can get a gigabit 5-port TrendNet. The last one I bought, it was like $30 or something like that.
Okay.
And they're on sale all the time.
Okay, cool. I'll keep a lookout, man. Thanks.
All right. It wasn't that boring, but I mean, it wasn't as exciting as a land speeder.
The Star Wars Lego thing was way
way it was better than mine, that's for sure.
Okay.
Which is better than nothing.
I'll take it.
Science, science, science. Science, science. Hello, podcast fans. Want to get weird with us? Come check out the Mad Scientist Podcast. We are a weekly show that looks at the history, philosophy, and hard facts behind your biggest paranormal questions.
Did the government really pay for a psychic spy program?
Yes!
Is it true that surgery got its start in grave robbing?
Yes!
Can a roller coaster really kill you?
Legally, we can't say so for sure, but sometimes, yes! Join myself, Chris Cogswell, and my co-host, Marie Mayhew, as we examine the science, philosophy, and history behind the strange and unusual. All to discover what's possible and plausible versus what's, well, just made up. Check us out wherever you find your favorite podcasts. The Mad Scientist Podcast.
Each episode of Gen X Grown Up has show notes loaded with links where you can learn more about our topics. And there's even more to see and hear over at genxgrownup.com.
Introducing the frying oil that's going to get people talking. New all-natural Wesson.
Just read the label. New Wesson's 100% natural.
Ever read Crisco's label? They put additives in their oil, but not new all-natural Wesson.
With Wesson, I don't get additives. I don't get anything but great-tasting fried food. For me and for them.
New all-natural Wesson is 100% natural. The other leading vegetable oil isn't. It's time to change your oil to new all-natural Wesson.
We're Beatrice.
This is the main event of the podcast. For the three in attendance locally and the millions listening around the world, ladies and gentlemen, it's time!
All right, time to talk about games. And before we get into the games that we're playing, I'm going to mention something. Mo, I appreciate you already posted in our Discord server a little while back, but today is the final day for the Steam Spring Sale, March 23rd. It ends at 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. Eastern time. Our podcast comes out at like what, John, 6 a.m. Eastern?
5 a.m. Eastern.
5 a.m. Yep. So we've given you 7 hours there, or 8 hours, or some amount of hours. Before
it's really a it's a courtesy that there's just that few hours to spend a whole bunch of money, so you'd have to hurry.
We we're you can being get thoughtful so much trouble, your wallet, right? And your relationships so and everything,
right?
But there's some good stuff out there. Several of the things on my wish list are on sale right now. I'm trying to abstain from buying because I recently bought another Humble Bundle.
Yes.
Now, I mentioned it a while back on one of our episodes. You guys remember Turkey and Syria had those back-to-back earthquakes, horrible, terrible loss of life, billions of dollars of damage and everything. Well, at that time, Humble Bundle got the communities together like they do in times of crisis, and they created the Turkey-Syria Earthquake Relief Bundle. At the time, this bundle was $30. I bought it sight unseen because I was trying to help. And we know Humble Bundle does a great job of picking the right charities and sending the money out. That one that they did for the Ukraine, I went and read some articles after the fact. I think it was 91 cents out of every dollar spent on that bundle went to relief directly.
That's phenomenal. Wow, that's great.
Yeah, crazy. So I'm like, yes, let's help the people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Most of the things on the bundle, I probably already have a license for. But you know what? That's okay. I'll give the license to my kid or my wife or a friend or something like that.
Sure.
Here are the stats, though, because I'm going to play one game from this bundle for the next however many weeks. I think I figured out there are 68 games in this bundle.
That's a huge bundle. It's a massive bundle.
That's like, if I go through the whole list, I guess that's a couple of years worth based on the fact that we do an episode every 2 weeks.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. We have to go a two for or three for every now and again.
Right. So $30 for the bundle, 68 games, but there are 130 items total in this bundle. Now, the way I got to that is there's 68 games. There are two books for one of the RPG games that is out there. I can't remember which one it is. But then at the very end of it, there are the first 10 volumes of the Saga comic book series. Yeah, I get like I'm getting crickets from my co-host because they don't know.
I don't know what that is. The Saga?
So, yeah, it's an important comic book series. It's actually another Image series, the same people who did Walking Dead, and it has consistently outsold the Walking Dead comic books for years.
Really? Okay.
Yes. Now, each one of these volumes has six comic books in it. So that's 60 comic books you get on top of the video games and those RPG books. So that's 130. It works out to 23 cents for every item.
And even if you weren't counting those bundles as individual comics, it's still only like 40 cents per something, right? It's still amazing.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, the first game up was the first game in the list, and it's what they led with the bundle. It's called Gotham Knights.
Oh, yeah.
Now, okay.
This game is a AAA game from Warner Brothers Gaming, which I didn't realize had a gaming system, but I looked at some of the trailers and read some reviews before I started playing it. I guess people were hoping that it would be the next Arkham Batman game.
Right.
And some people at the time when it first came out, I guess, didn't like it very much. I have now played about an hour and a half of it. I love this game. This is so much fun. Maybe when it first came out, it had some bugs or glitches. Maybe that's what made people disappointed in it. So far, it's been a wonderful game for me. I will say, just to prepare you, if you do have this game and haven't played it or you decide to buy it, be prepared for a 10-minute intro cinematic sequence.
Okay.
I've never seen that in a game before. I've never seen where you literally press the start button and sit back and wait for 10 minutes to watch this great battle scene between Batman and Ra's al Ghul.
It's an epic battle. Yeah.
It is epic.
So, I mean, you're speaking very highly of it, but I still don't know what kind of game it is. They thought it might be like Arkham Knight. Is a big open world adventure or a fighting game? What is it?
It is exactly like Arkham Knight in my opinion.
Okay.
All right. Same mechanic.
Yeah, it feels very similar. It's story-driven, characters bouncing around. The neat thing is you get to control one of four characters, which is really fun. And you apparently get to switch back and forth, I guess. You get to co-op play with other people and they can jump in as those characters. So a little bit of the Left 4 Dead kind of vibe. They can even jump in the middle of a game while you're playing online. It has online missions. It has, you know, the story-driven mode. The characters that you get to play both as Dick Grayson, who in this game is Nightwing.
Mm-hmm.
You get to play Tim Drake, who is Robin, the young version of Robin.
Okay.
You get to play as Red Hood. Jason, I can never remember that guy's last name, but Jason Todd. Thank you. Yes. Jason Todd, who was Robin for a while until he got killed and came back as an evil guy anyway. And you can also play as Commissioner Gordon's daughter. He got killed and
came back as an evil guy. Like, okay.
It's comic books, man. It's like soap operas.
I know. Yeah.
So you get to play as any one of the four characters. Alfred Pennyworth is also a big part of the game. You're not in the Batcave, which is nice. You're in a different part of the city. And so far, I've played like a couple of the introductory missions and I've done some training. The training segments are awesome and easy to follow and understand, and they really prepare you for stuff. The database part, the knowledge part of the game is exhaustive. I stopped reading. It was so much.
Wow. I don't have a game for this segment because I was going to do exactly what you did. I bought the same bundle. I really bought it because of this game, honestly, because I was like, I mean, that's cheaper than the game, you know, what you pay for the whole bundle.
That happens all the time.
And the cool thing, John, the premise of this is Batman's dead. That's how it starts.
I was trying not to spoil the lead.
You watch the trailer. It tells you what it is.
Yeah, but you don't have to tell John or the rest of them that. They can get surprised.
Anyone who watched anything about the game knows that. It's not a big surprise.
They could have just watched us. They could have just bought the game on our recommendation.
Oh. He's not really dead. Just kidding. Just kidding. Not dead.
Yeah, he's not dead. Well, who knows? Who knows? Maybe he's not. Who knows, right?
Oh, you know it's comic books. He ain't dead.
Yeah,
he's
true. Coming back. He's not really dead. But that's why you're playing as the four characters, and they're basically trying to pick up where he left off, which makes it kind of an interesting story.
Which is why you're not in the Batcave, I guess, because you're not Batman. You're not doing that stuff. But yeah.
Well, that's part of how he dies is he self-destructs the Batcave in order to kill himself and his enemy that he's fighting.
I see.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, it's cool. It's a big game though. It's a big game.
It feels that way.
There's a lot to do, a lot to do. And I played it a little bit more. So I played I tried each of the characters and each one, like the mechanics are the same, but they're like specialty moves are different. So that makes it fun.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
You
know?
Sure.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, oh, I do this and you know, Red Hood pulls out two guns and like, you know, does a barrage of bullets. You know, it's just cool stuff like that. So they said, I'm enjoying it. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Whereas Nightwing will use his Escrima sticks.
Right. Exactly.
You know, and every character has their things that they do better than the other. And they do a great job of really separating out the characters and their abilities and giving them their personalities that they had from the comic books. One thing that's interesting to note is the game at retail price is $59.99. So Mo and I got it for 23 cents, essentially. So we saved $59.76 on this game. If you go right now to Steam, though, today, before the sale that I mentioned earlier ends, it's actually half price.
Oh, okay. 30. So 29 or something like that?
I think it's like 28 or so. Yeah,
28. Okay.
Yeah, it's like 40% off or something like that. So,
yeah. So at 23 cents, do you think you'll get your Corys out of this game?
You watch the intro, you get your Corys.
You watch the intro.
Yeah, exactly.
The opening cinematic. Exactly. Done.
Yeah. Yeah. No, definitely. Like I said, I've played, I think I looked at the little Steam counter, how long you played, and I think it was at 94 minutes before we started recording this podcast. Now, Mo, did you have a problem with the game crashing at all?
It happened once.
Ah, okay. So it happened to me three times.
Oh, okay.
So maybe that's part of what people were upset about, because I have a pretty solid, beefy video card and a decent CPU.
Right.
I wouldn't think it would be crashing, but I did reboot my computer. I had some Windows updates and some video card updates. I did all of that stuff. When I went back to play it, I didn't get any crashes, I am a little nervous because some of the crashes happened during the cinematic at the beginning. No. So you had to start the cinematic over, which really sucks.
Yeah.
And some of them happened right as I started a certain part of gameplay. So be a little cautious of that.
Updating your graphic card driver is a good idea anytime you're going to jump into a brand new game, because sometimes they put optimizations or fixes for things. Yep. But yeah, hopefully it won't take away from your enjoyment, though, of the game.
No, I don't think so. Good.
Good.
That's a super new game. John, You've got a slightly older game based on the tease that you gave us earlier. You talked about a golden chalice.
I did. Hmm. That's right. Yeah. I don't think anybody's surprised to know that I'm talking in general about Warren Robinette's Atari 2600 masterpiece, Adventure.
Yeah.
Now, there's nothing new about Adventure. I'm not here talking about Adventure per se, but recently, as some of the things I've been talking about and reviewing on YouTube and diving into Atari's catalog, and one of the things that impresses me more and more is what people in the homebrew community are doing in the 21st century on Atari 2600. We saw that amazing Galagon, the Galaga port now, that's so much better.
I love Galagon. Yeah.
Like Pac-Man 4K, Pac-Man 8K, is so much better than the Todd Fry Pac-Man. So many cool things.
I love the Todd Fry Pac-Man, though. Quit hurting.
I don't hate it.
Everybody's just always down on my Todd Fry Pac-Man.
It isn't arcade accurate, and they're doing cool things.
Look at Moe's face. Come on.
I never liked it.
So what I discovered was, now this is a game that was initially released, best I can find, back in 2011. Not released by a company, released by a dude on the Atari Age forums. His handle is Keith BK. I can't find his real name, but I'm crediting what I can find there. What he has done is a modernization / sequel / reimagining / homage to Warren Robinette's original adventure called, creatively enough, Another Adventure is the name of this game.
What's that bad name? I like that.
Now, the thing is, I'm not tired of adventure. Even though I know the map and blindfolded and I know where everything typically is and the places things spawn, I play that all the time. I fire up, I'll play Yar's Revenge, I'll play Missile Command, I'll play Adventure. Like every time I play Atari.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to go get the world record for blind solving adventure.
Ooh.
Well,
I know people do blind gaming all the time.
I'm going to tell you, I have a shot. There's a chance. If I played the version where things are the same place, it's possible. Like, I'm not saying it's impossible. Anyway. So we already love adventure. There's nothing that he does with this game that breaks what you love about adventure. He just kind of reimagined everything. And the great thing is, first he layered on some additional, like, updated graphics. Like, instead of just being square walls, there's like a little bridge to walk over. There's a little swamp.
Okay.
It's super rough, graphics. So the very first game option is just playing the original adventure with his new graphics. The dragons look less like ducks. The sword actually isn't an arrow. It looks like a sword and it turns the way you're facing. Just little enhancements to the game.
Okay.
The more amazing part of it is when you get into, there's five different variations of the game. And as soon as you get to variation two, it's an expanded map. The kingdom is larger. So there's new places to go. There's new mazes that I don't know my way through blindfolded. crazy, right? There's new castles and keys and stuff. The bat looks a little bit different. And then as you progress through, the biggest crazy thing that makes this a much more challenging game that I love is, on a couple of game variations, the bat can resurrect the dragons.
Ooh.
Right?
He turns them into dragon vampires?
Or zombies or something. I don't know.
Undead dragons.
Undead dragons. Sure. Used to be, you kill the three dragons and then you just waltz around and willy-nilly, you don't care, right? Well, now you got to keep track of where that stored is because it's still out there. And I've played a lot of homebrew things. The reason I brought this one up, the reason I wanted to talk about it, is what it did to me is it transported me back to sitting cross-legged in front of the console TV playing Adventure, because I'm mapping. I'm drawing the map. I got to figure out these puzzles. But now I'm mapping digital, right? I'm taking a screenshot. I'm shrinking the screenshot. I'm adding it to an aggregate image. This is above this.
Oh my God.
And so I'm creating this color, full resolution map of the entire world. And it's like I'm playing Adventure again, but just a little bit better and a little bit newer and fresher. But everything you loved about it, it's still there and more.
Wow.
So is this actually made to run on the 2600? Or is this something they did a port, like just an homage that runs on PC or something?
This was designed to run specifically on the Atari 2600.
Oh, wow.
And for a while, they released a boxed cartridge with a manual. Now, those are out of print now.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
But you can go to the link mode that I'll give you. You can download the ROM image and play it in Stella, or put it on a Harmony cartridge and plug it into a real Atari, however you want to play it. This runs on real Atari. And I didn't mention that at the head, right? That it isn't just like a PC rewrite. It's within the constraints of the 2600's hardware, but it's an expanded version of the game that we love so much. And I'm having so much fun with it.
That's the part that amazes me every time. When you talk about these things, like you mentioned Galagon earlier, is that these people are building these games within the constraints of the original system.
Right.
And doing the things that they're doing. Now, I get that the one thing that some of them are not constraining themselves to is the size of memory that the cartridge could hold.
Yep.
So I get that they can do that. But the fact that they're taking a system that was never designed to make circles and only had a certain color palette and they're doing these incredible things. God bless that homebrew community. It's amazing. Awesome. I love every single one of them.
Yep. Yeah. It's cool. So there's no reason not to play it. Just you could go grab it at the link, download it, grab your Stella emulator, however. And as I said earlier, the tech segment, I'm kind of broke. And so a free game was an amazing choice for me. I highly recommend if you like the original adventure, you should seek this one out and at least give it a try.
Awesome. Mo, I feel bad for John. Maybe between my bundle and your bundle, we can figure out duplicates and we can just start donating to the John Relief Fund.
Gift me some 23 cent games. Thank you.
I can afford that, right?
What was it like to be there for historical sports moments and unforgettable performances? To be behind the scenes? On PressBox Access, you'll hear from me, Todd Jones, and other sports writers about their experiences with the greatest athletes, coaches, and sports events of the past half century. We'll share some stories behind the stories, some big, some small, and some we've only told each other. Let us buy you a round on PressBox Access.
If you're a diehard Gen X grown-up, you can pledge your support by clicking join on YouTube or by becoming a patron at genxgrownup.com/patreon.
This is some people's idea of how to prepare a seafood dinner. Because while most everyone loves seafood, not everyone knows exactly what to do with it. Well, now there's a better way. Introducing Mrs. Paul's Light Seafood Entrees. 7 tempting seafood entrees that are low in calories and microwavable. New Mrs. Paul's Light Seafood Entrees. For people who love seafood but don't love to cook it. Mrs. Paul's, it tastes good because it is good.
Before we get out of this episode, we always like to take a moment here toward the end to start talking about the things we're looking at now, we're looking forward to between now and the next time we get a chance to sit down and talk. And Mo, I'd like to start with you and find out what you have on the horizon.
Oh, sure. So one is Ted Lasso. I've not watched it yet. So looking forward to getting back to that series. John Wick Chapter 4 is coming out March 24th. Especially now we heard the horrible news about Lance Reddick passing away suddenly.
Yeah, we heard that.
Yeah, it's just... He was 60. I mean, he was in The Wire. Just loved everything that guy did.
Fringe.
Fringe. But anyway, but we will get a chance to at least see him one more time in John Wick Chapter 4. I believe he's in that as well. So, looking forward to that movie. Also, because it's John Wick. But what I'm really looking forward to, and John, I think you're definitely going to want to see this show, is a new Apple TV show called Big Door Prize. And it's coming out March 29th.
I don't know.
Please tell me this is a Price is Right documentary.
Nope.
Damn it.
Is it a puppet show?
So the reason why I think you're going to want to see it is one, one of the writers is from Schitt's Creek.
Okay.
So that's good.
It's a start.
Starring Chris O'Dowd.
Oh, from IT Crowd.
From IT Crowd.
And what was the big thing he did? Shorty. He did the series Get Shorty.
Yeah.
And the premise is the other thing that gets you. So basically the premise is it's a small town. You know, he's like a teacher or something like that. You know, happy with his life. And in like, I think it's in a store, like a photo booth just appears one day. And you go in there. It doesn't take your picture. It gives you a card and it tells you what your life's purpose was supposed to be.
Whoa.
Okay, that's some bullshit. What it was supposed to be? Fuck you, photo
booth. Or maybe what it is. Maybe I got the terms wrong there, but it tells you what your life's purpose.
I'm about to get mad at this photo booth.
I'm not going in there.
So people going in there, they don't know where it came from. No one knows what happened. Like, it just appears. People go in there and get the cards, and just the whole town just goes crazy because, you know, something says, like, you know, rock guitarist, and this guy's never played guitar in his life, and he's in his 50s, and now he's starting to, like, learn to play the guitar, you know? And Chris O'Dowd's character is a guy who, I guess, he's basically happy with his life.
Okay.
But now these cards are like messing up everything.
That's why I said, fuck that photo booth.
Yeah. Don't go in there.
But it just sounds super interesting. I think Chris O'Dowd, I mean, the way he did Get Shorty, and I love him, IT Crowd. I think he could totally hit out of the park. And plus, you know, Schitt's Creek writers. I think it's going to be a great show. I have a lot of hopes for it. So that's what I'm looking for the most.
Nice. Okay. Well, I have a couple things that I'm looking forward to as well. First is, it has been too long since I've seen Kiefer Sutherland in a dramatic role. There's a new series coming to Paramount Plus March 26th called Rabbit Hole.
Okay.
I heard of that.
So I hadn't either. And I looked it up. So he plays John John Weir, a master of deception in the world of espionage. He is framed for murder by powerful forces with the ability to influence and control populations. So this is like a straight up 24 style espionage.
I was going to say
Jack Bauer thing.
I know you want to see him in a drama role, but couldn't he do something else? Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's the same goddamn role.
I want to see more of that. I like that Kiefer Sutherland. Okay. So this is something I'll check out. So it's called Rabbit Hole. The next thing is something you looked at, George, on YouTube, is that Tetris movie is coming our way.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be March 31st on Apple TV+. And lest you worry that it's a dramatic retelling of the plot of Tetris, it's not. It's
no.
It's about all of the kind of backstabbing and getting out from behind the Iron Curtain for the creators of a Tetris game and how tough it was for them to get game exported, imported. Anyway, it's an interesting story and it looks like a well-made film. So, and most of all, I'm looking forward to in the theaters. Same day, March 31st, is the D&D Honor Among Thieves film is coming out. And I look at it and I think, I'm not sure it's going to be good, but the thing that I'm really like bolstered by is the fact that they did preview showings. They did early viewings.
Okay. Yeah.
And they typically don't do that for films that review badly.
Yeah, that's
They'll
true.
Wait and just try to surprise you and try to get your money at the box office sight unseen.
Surprise is bad.
Right, yeah. Oh, it's 65 again. Sorry, right? It's not going to be that. So I think the fact that I didn't get a pretty advanced viewing, but people did. And so I'm hopeful it's going to be, it looks fun.
It's funny.
If it's not cheesy, then it might be good. So I'm looking forward
to it. Cheesy. I can be okay with, though.
A little. That's fine. What about you, George? What do you got coming?
Yeah, well, first, I'm looking forward to almost everything you guys mentioned, except for the John Bauer's hole, whatever that thing was.
the
D&D Honor thing. I think, John, the thing that's going to be the most interesting about that is that they are doing it tongue-in-cheek, not the super powerful hero that you might expect D&D to do.
Yeah.
They're doing it like the other guys, like that kind
the
of
lower
story.
Decks,
I think that's
D&D
what makes
people
it
almost. Yeah.
Exactly. but for me personally, the first thing I'm looking forward to is my youngest son is actually moving back into the house. He's made what I consider to be a very mature decision. He wants to go back to school full time. And he said, you know, I could keep living with my brothers, but if I move back in full time, you guys can help to keep me on the right track and I can go to school and grandma lives across the street can make me food and I can save money for books and stuff. And
it's very self-aware.
I'm happy to have him back because, John, you know, you have this relationship. Mo, you do as well with your children. Sometimes your kids enjoy the things you enjoy a little bit more than your partner, maybe. And so you get to my wife loves me, but she's not into, you know, like Star Trek. My kid will sit and watch Star Trek with me.
Right.
So that kind of thing will be fun.
I totally get it.
Second, Mo, I'm also looking forward to John Wick 4. As a matter of fact, I was very upset that you had it in the list ahead of me, but you had it there first. So I'm like, okay, I'll just mention it. And then the last thing is, John, God damn it, we didn't learn from your example last year. We're taking a family trip to MegaCon.
Oh, good luck.
Well, are you going for, how long are you going to go for?
We're just going for one day, which is the same mistake that John made. He went for the Saturday.
Some people never learn.
We're doing the same thing. They're doing a few things different. And one thing, so you can see here, if you're watching the video, I got our tickets already in the mail. Yeah. So that's nice. Just have to activate them. But they are pre-selling parking spots.
Oh, that's smarter.
Yeah. So now,
where was that last time? Damn it.
Well, but here's the thing. Just because they're pre-selling the parking spots doesn't mean you can necessarily get to the parking lot as you found out last year.
Oh, good
That's
point.
The part I'm worried about.
Sucker.
Leave early.
So the parking lot opens at 7 a.m., I believe, ahead of a 10 a.m. door open. We're going to get there at like 7.
Yeah.
And just sit in the van. So we're going to try it. We'll see what happens. If not, that's $300, and I don't care what the rules say. I'm getting my goddamn money back. Yeah.
I tried. It was just $50, and they wouldn't give mine back after I sat in traffic for, 2 hours from last time? I wish you luck. I honestly, I'm braced for, if it's a bad story, it's going to be a wonderful bad story to hear, I'm sure. But I hope you have a good story.
You know I won't hold back.
That's right. Exactly.
You charge. Come on. See, this is the first year I'm not going to MegaCon.
You're not going. Wow. Yeah,
they changed the date, one. They moved it to April instead of when it's usually later in the year. And it's just too much going on right now. I just can't get the time.
Can't get out. Can't get away.
The date is actually why we're going, because it corresponds with our wedding anniversary, which I swear to God, I've told this before. It's April 1st. Yes, we were married on April Fool's Day in Las Vegas.
Perfect. Was Elvis there?
Yeah.
No, he was asleep at that time of the morning. So.
Okay. All right. Well, I wish you luck. I really do. I hope you have come up with a good story to tell for MegaCon, not the one that I had last time. So, all right. Before we get out of the show, I really quickly want to thank another new patron, a new supporter that headed over to patreon.com/GenXGrownUp. I forgot what it was.
Think about that.
Is it Discord? I forgot what it is. Headed over to genxgrownup.com/Patreon and threw his hat in the ring. Joe G.
Awesome.
Just liked what we do, decided he wanted to be part of making it happen. Hit that button. We're so grateful for you, Joe, and everyone else who financially supports what we do. It means the world to us. If you would like to join Joe, all you have to do again is head over to genxgrownup.com/Patreon for as little as $1 a month. You can become part of how we do what we do, and we would love to have you do that.
That's awesome.
That is going to wrap it up for this edition of the show then, but don't worry, we'll be back in 2 weeks with another one, and next week is our backtrack, where we pick a single nostalgic topic and dig in deep.
I'm shaking.
Yeah, well, last time it was George that was quivering. This time it is Mo that's quivering for the backtrack. You want to do the honors? Tell them what's coming next week.
Oh, I actually feel bad for you, John, for having to edit down like 6 hours into one. But the next backtrack, we're going to be talking about Dungeons and Dragons. That is so Gen X.
Oh, yeah.
Key to... Oh, I just can't wait to talk about the history and where it's come from. Oh, it's going to be amazing. I can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, we all have played and we know Dungeons and Dragons, but Mo knows Dungeons and Dragons. And so, yeah, I can't wait as well. It's going to be a lot of fun, fourth listener. I hope you will join us for that one. Until then, I am John. George, thank you so much for being here.
Yes, sir.
Mo, you know, I appreciate you, man.
Always fun, man.
Fourth listener, it's you. We all appreciate most of all. And we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Take care, everybody.
Gen X Grown Up is a member of the Evergreen Podcast family. Learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com. No more washing shows till sunrise. Unacceptable for grown-ups. Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up. I don't understand how I'm the youngest and I'm the one who needs glasses when we record these.
Well, the thing is, my vision only works like that far. If it's anything I'm reading here, I can't do it.
And I have a control plus on my keyboard that makes the letters this big.
You've got questions, we've got answers. Business leadership, ownership, and sales can be challenging. Tune into the Accelerate Your Business Growth podcast to learn from the world's experts. Join me, your host, Diane Helbig, as I chat with people who have expertise in various areas of business. You'll enjoy the lively conversations that are focused on providing you with the ideas, tips, and suggestions you need to realize greater success. Get what you need for your business when you need it from the people who have the answers. Accelerate Your Business Growth is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network and is available on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.